Patrick, we now have inflation numbers for the month of December, bringing to an end 2023. The Consumer Price Index, also the Producer Price Index. Can you give us a bit of an overview as to what those numbers had to show?
CPI for December was a little bit worse than expected. Not terrible, but a little worse than expected. The headline CPI, or the overall CPI, rose 0.3%. That was a little bit above what was expected. What forecasters had been expecting was 0.2%. And then the year-over-year number, the CPI in December relative to where it was a year ago, that was up 3.4%. And forecasters had been expecting 3.2%. Now, if we look at the core number, that is, we strip out the energy and food categories, which are more volatile, it rose 0.3%. That was in line with expectations, and it was up 3.9% from a year before, and that's slightly above what was expected, 3.8%. So, again, it was close to expectations, slightly worse than we had been expecting, and the Fed's goal is to bring inflation down to 2%. Now, the Fed uses a different metric for inflation. Their preferred metric is something called PCE inflation, but CPI is still a commonly cited metric, and it's very important to take a look at it. Now, that was the bad news. CPI was the bad news over the past couple of weeks. There's slightly better news with the producer price index. So the consumer price index looks at prices that consumers pay. The producer price index looks at prices that producers pay for the things they sell. And that had fallen 0.1%. So a sell rather than rose. And that was the same number it had been the previous month. The numbers are telling slightly different things. So as I'm sure listeners know, inflation rose quite a bit in 2021 and 2022. Last year, it fell quite a bit. We're still above where we need to be. And so a lot of economists think that a lot of the inflation that had been, to the extent that inflation had been supply-driven, a lot of that has been unwound or it's been taken care of itself, at least what one economist calls the last mile of inflation, which is more demand-driven inflation. That's the hard part, bringing us all the way down to 2%. So the Federal Reserve has made a lot of progress in bringing inflation down to its target. It's not quite there yet. It's possible inflation will fall all the way down to 2% over the next few months, just because there's a lag from its previous interest rate hikes to the present. But still not 100% clear that the inflation surge is over. Hopefully it will be in the next few months.
So the Fed is targeting inflation to bring it down to 2%, which we haven't accomplished yet. There have been multiple interest rate hikes over the last couple of years. The Fed had been signaling toward the end of 23 that the increases in interest rates were going to come to an end. We might actually see some cuts. Is inflation still on a track for that, or is this a situation where, given the fact we went backward a bit in December, we might expect the Fed over the first quarter of the year at least maybe just to stand pat and see what happens?
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good chance the Fed is going to have to stay pat at least for the next couple months. So in December, they said that they were thinking about perhaps cutting its interest rate target, the federal funds rate, as much as three times in 2024. That could still hold true, but we want to see a few more data points to really show that inflation is still falling. The Fed should wait for a few more data points before deciding that it's okay to cut rates. Now, this assumes that nothing dramatic happens. I mean, suppose unemployment skyrocketed for some reason. I don't think that would happen. Let's say unemployment rose unexpectedly quite a bit. Then, yeah, it would still be okay to cut because we would be expecting inflation to be falling on its own. But as of right now, the Fed shouldn't declare victory too quickly.
Taking a look then at those job numbers and the unemployment rate, I know we've done some survey research at my organization, Patrick, talking to business owners and CEOs, and finding enough of qualified employees to fill jobs has been a major problem for employers. Was there an uptick in hiring toward the end of 2023?
In the last month, so in December, the number of jobs we saw an increase of 216,000, and that was a little bit above expected, which is moderately good news. The unemployment rate stayed at 3.7%. So that stayed the same from the previous month. We did see in December that the labor force participation rate dipped a little bit, dipped by 0.3 percentage points in December. That's just one data point. It's a moderately negative point. It means that there aren't as many people in the workforce as we would like there to be.
circling back here to the inflation rate, at the start of the run-up of hyperinflation that occurred over the last couple of years, Patrick, there was some thought that inflation was going to be transitory. Well, it appears to have been not so. Looking forward, and of course nobody has a crystal ball, do you see the economy as being strong, being headed toward the so-called soft landing that the Fed wanted, or is the jury still out as to what may happen next?
So I'd like to talk about the transitory versus permanent debate that started at the beginning of the inflation surge back in 2021. Oh, inflation's it's higher than 2%, but don't worry, it's going to fall back to target because it's due to these unfortunate supply shocks like the COVID-19 pandemic and then later the Russia-Ukraine war. So yes, the inflation is painful, but it will go away on its own. And the alternative point of view was this so-called team permanent, team persistent view. So no. There's too much demand in the economy, and it's going to prop up prices. There's too much money chasing too few goods. So inflation, actually, it's persistent. See, these terms are loosely defined, transitory and permanent, but those were the two main views. Now, inflation has fallen a lot since summer of 2022. Again, it's above target. And thus far, we've seen inflation fall with not much economic damage. So you do see some team transitory economists saying, we were right all along. Now, I take issue with that, though, because the Federal Reserve, even though they initially bought into this transitory narrative, they then changed tunes around the fall of 2021, where they went, inflation's actually a big problem. So, as you said, they had to raise interest rates quite dramatically because the Fed decided to take the advice of the people who were warning that inflation is a serious problem. The odds are looking reasonable for that. But again, we would want to see a few more months of falling inflation before we can really say that. Another metric that my colleagues and I think that the Federal Reserve should look at and really try to target that instead of inflation is nominal GDP or the total sum of spending in the economy. So we argue that the Federal Reserve should really try to keep that on a stable path. And by doing that, it would help anchor inflation expectations. You wouldn't be directly targeting inflation, but you would be indirectly targeting it. And nominal GDP growth, it skyrocketed in 2021, like inflation, and it's come down a lot, but it's still very high. So as of the third quarter, which is the last quarter we have data for, it was up 6% over the previous year. We really want it to be closer to 4%. And the way I arrive at that number is if we assume that the economy, like real output, can grow about 2% every year, if your goal is 2% inflation, your nominal GDP is your real GDP plus your inflation. Because we'd want to have, let's target 4% NGDP because 2% real GDP plus 2% inflation. But now we're still quite high. We're at 6% NGDP. So really want to bring that number gradually down to closer to 4%. Once it's there, then I'd be more confident that inflation is going to be closer to 2%, which is what the Fed's goal is.
We have been talking with Patrick Horan, who is a research fellow at the Mercatus Center, located at George Mason University. Patrick, tell us a little bit about the Mercatus Center. Also, where can folks go on the web if they would like to learn more?
The Mercatus Center is a university-based research center affiliated with George Mason University. And we are a research institute that looks at a number of economic policy issues. And we try to bridge the gap between academic ideas and real-world policy problems. We come up with market-oriented solutions to a number of policy problems, including monetary policy, but also fiscal policy, housing policy, antitrust, and some other areas. Listeners can learn more by going to mercatus.org.
Patrick Horan of the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Patrick, thank you for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.